It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
Welcome to California Wine Country on KSRO 1350 and FM 103.5. No, I am not the ailing Steve Jackson. His voice would not change that much. That would be horrible if it did. I am Michelle Marquis filling in gladly to help out my friend Steve. So recuperate and get better, Steve. This cold is a killer. Joining us, of course, for California Wine Country, which is brought to you by Bottle Barn, where Sonoma County buys wine, is Dan Berger, the wine writer for the PD. It was really nice to meet you right out here in the lobby. Hi,
wonderful,
Dan.
Michelle. Thank you. It's great to be with you.
We're happy to have you here. And we've got Tom Simino of Simino Vineyards and, of course, Sonoma County's wine guy. And we were just together a little while ago.
I know. We stopped meeting like this here, Michelle.
Crazy. So, Tom, today is pretty special here on California Wine Country because we want to highlight not only your wines, but something that is very exciting for you and Brenda to be able to do, a winemaker dinner.
Yes, we're having a winemaker dinner next Friday, which will be the 14th at the Bayview restaurant at the Inn at the Tides in Bodega Bay. And we have the chef and the general manager of the restaurant. Is that your title, actually?
I'm the assistant general manager.
So we have Marco Galazzo.
Galazzo.
And Luca Doria. Did I get that correct?
You did get that.
There we are. And these gentlemen have prepared, Luca is the chef, and he has prepared the actual meal that we're going to be serving at the restaurant on the 14th. And we've got it here, and we're going to pair it with the Simino wines.
I got to tell you, this is pretty fancy. This is classing up the joint that we've all got linens, right, with actual silverware. They don't trust Steve Jackson with sharp objects, so this is pretty nice.
No plastic at the Bayview restaurant, for sure. And we're going to pair it with the four wines that we're going to serve that night. And one thing that makes this is quite unique because Brenda and I, a lot of people know me as the wine guy, and other people know me as a grape grower, but a lot of people don't know me as a winemaker, especially a commercial winemaker, because I made homemade wine since 1983, but we went commercial in 2005, and we're kind of under the radar because we sell just direct, so we're not in restaurants really, we're really not in any retail stores, so people don't get a chance to taste our wines, and we're really happy to say that we're invited to come to the Bayview restaurant and serve our wines with your beautiful food, and people will have a chance to taste, you know, our Cabernet Sauvignon, our Meritage wine, our Brenda Lee Chardonnay, and our Chardonnay Rosé at the meal.
This is really a treat, too, and a lot of people have not been able to try this Chardonnay Rosé at all, so this may be a first time for many people.
Yeah, Dan, do you think there's ever been a Chardonnay Rosé out there in the marketplace?
Oh, I'm certain that there has been, but it's probably never going to be as good as this. This is really good, Tom.
Thank you.
Beautiful job. Early harvested Chardonnay fruit and very carefully done blending so that the red doesn't dominate the white. So you've got both the best of both worlds. You've got the richness in the mid-palate for the Chardonnay that gives it that body, and then the aftertaste, which has this gorgeous raspberry, strawberry kind of a note in the finish. It's just a stunning wine. I'm really surprised. And, I mean, normally you see something like says Chardonnay or Rosé, you're thinking gimmicky. But this is not gimmicky.
I'll tell you, it's a pain in the butt to make. and Brenda and I actually, when we picked the red grapes the day before we picked the Chardonnay, we bring it over to the winery and we crush it with our feet. Right, so we're crushing the cold, you know, Malbec, a little bit of Merlot, and a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon.
Don't say that too loudly, because some years ago, the state of California outlawed such things.
As crushing with your feet?
Yes, because they said it was unhealthful.
Well, we soak them in Chardonnay first.
There we go. I'm sure that's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm still drinking it.
Yeah, really. You know, you see those French guys jumping into the vats, and you always say, well, where have they been? I know. It's a crazy thing. And then we cold soak it overnight with dry ice, and then we throw it in with the Chardonnay the next day, and then we ferment it in neutral red barrels to give it a little more color. And it just really makes a very nice wine.
Beautiful wine. And the nice thing about it is it's nearly dry. But the best part about it is it does have a trace of sugar. And it's beneficial to the overall taste of the wine because you need that sugar to deliver flavor. And it does.
And it's got that watermelon thing going on. And, good acidity.
And the raspberries are fabulous in the
Luca, do you want to tell us what we're pairing this with for the dinner?
Well, we did an involtino of eggplant wrapped with, I put inside some buffalo mozzarella, which is local. It's like a few miles down the road. It's between Bodega Bay and Tamales Bay. And then I did a concasse of quickly sauté in a pan with some heirloom tomato, some micro basil, and some crispy prosciutto.
Wow. And it is that something when you look at that?
It's absolutely gorgeous. I know that Mike DeWald took some pictures, so if you check out our Facebook page, you'll be able to see these beautiful things that Chef Luca made. But I also have to point out that Chef Luca brought the ingredients here and then cooked them in the kitchen at the radio station.
And which, the fire alarm went off.
Exactly. And he did set off a fire alarm. But I
that
am
wasn't
more,
our fault.
No. I am more amazed that food like this, this beautiful, delicious food, could be prepared in our little crummy kitchen.
I couldn't believe him whipping through. When they came in, they had they had a little hand truck driven down to the kitchen, which is about 2x2, and then turned all the units on to high, and then you're throwing things together. I'm just amazed that we've got all of these beautiful things to pair with the wines.
So let me ask a question. This is for Simoneaux Vineyards. This is the second time that they have done a winemaker dinner, and this is also the second time that they've come back to the Bayview restaurant at the Inn at the Tides. What is the process like for you as a winemaker and for chef, you to come together and figure out how to even put together your menu and what you're going to do?
Well, it was last spring that we drove out to Bodega Bay. It was a beautiful morning, and anybody who's been out to the Inn at the Tides knows how gorgeous it is when you're sitting looking out at the Bodega Bay. And we brought our wines, and Luca and Marco and Carlo came down to meet Brenda and I, and we just poured our wines, and we talked about what the flavors were in the wines and what might be in season in the fall, because we had chosen the date. It was going to be sometime either in September or October. And so we said, okay, well, this rosé has these wonderful crisp, acidic flavors and a little bit of strawberry and some a little bit of melon from the roundness of the Chardonnay. And actually, it was Luca that suggested the this eggplant. And I think you really came up with quite a pairing.
Thank you.
Well, should we try it?
Yeah, yes.
We should try it. We need to eat.
I think
let's,
we do.
Let's do it. Dan, you're going to grab the first bite over there?
Oh, if I can get this thing unwrapped. Oh, yeah.
Can you believe it? No plastic forks.
Okay, right. So tell us a little bit about where the grapes are grown, where your vineyards are located.
Simoneaux Vineyards is off of Alexander Valley Road in Healdsburg. And if you're coming out of Healdsburg and you turn right onto Alexander Valley Road as you're driving into the valley, we're one of the westernmost vineyards. We're about half a mile into the valley. Mm-hmm. Well, if you know where Jordan Winery is, we're 1 mile west of Jordan.
Okay.
And the crazy thing is we're right on the bench. So the Cabernet Sauvignon is about a foot and a half higher than the Chardonnay. And it's just soil types are different.
Mm-hmm.
So the vineyard has two classic, here I'm about to take a taste.
Right. So that difference just in that few feet really makes a difference for the soil?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Huh.
The crazy thing is when geologists come out, we've had some geologists out to the house to talk about the lay of the land and all. And they suggested that Alexander Valley, millenniums ago, was a lake, right? And that the lake kind of lapped up to the where the Chardonnay is, and it kind of lapped up onto where the Cabernet is. So the Cabernet, if you do your pits, is gravel, loam, a little bit of clay, some sand, and the roots go down like 10 feet. And when you move just across the avenue, which would be about 25 yards, where the lake was, you do pits there, you dig down, and 3 feet down is a hard pan of clay.
Hmm.
So the roots in the Cabernet go down 10 feet, and 25 yards away, the Chardonnay roots go down in the clay 3 feet and go left and right because they can't break through that hard pan. So the it's perfect for Chardonnay doesn't mind ripening in a little bit of wet feet and a little more clay than Cabernet. I don't think I could get my Cabernet ripe where the Chardonnay is, which is only, you know, like I say, about 25 yards.
Cabernet would ripen properly in terms of sugar, but not in terms of flavor. Once Cabernet gets wet feet, like you said, they tend to put out these real green, herbaceous flavors. And that's what really dominated Monterey County Cabernet for a long time. They just didn't know how to ripen it. Now they ripen it beautifully because they've learned viticulturally how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. We are going to take a quick break. That bite was fantastic.
Wow.
It really worked so well with the rosé. And I think that creaminess of the buffalo mozzarella was so good with...
And the saltiness of the prosciutto.
Goodness. Yeah, it was really fantastic. This is California Wine Country on 1350 KSRO and FM 103.5, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Of course, your hosts are Dan Berger and Tom Simino. I'm Michelle Marquis, filling in for the ailing Steve Jackson. I imagine him like on one of those fainting pillows or something like that, right? All laid out.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the wine we have.
Right, poor
He's
guy.
He's probably listening going, why am I sick?
Right. We've got Simino Vineyards, who are doing their second ever winemaker dinner at the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides. It's coming up on Friday, October 14th. Starts with a 6:30 p.m. no-host reception. At 7 o'clock is a dinner. Four courses, each paired with Simino Vineyards wines. And it's a super value, $109 plus tax and gratuity. You can make reservations by emailing reservations@innatthetides.com, or you can just call the Inn at the Tides and ask to make reservations. This is very fun. Now, the restaurant manager, Marco Galazzo, was, as we went to break, starting to talk about that pairing and why it worked so well. Marco, can you tell us again why the Chardonnay Rosé went so well with that dish?
It's a classical Italian dish where we get this amalgamation of flavors. You know, here in California, we're always making food where every single different component is separate, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But there's classical food combinations in Italian cooking, and we have a chef that we brought from Italy to make food that you get in Italy. And in Italy, you make the flavors amalgamate so that 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 15 instead of 3, and it's so much more. And then when you get a wine that has this evident fruit and this crisp acidity, and it's got a backbone to it that it can come through the flavors, it just works.
And it's just beautiful. One final point. Most people think of Italian cooking as pasta. It's not true.
It's
such a broad range of flavors, and it's an astounding thing to visit. We visited Italy numerous times, and wherever you go, whether you're going to a town that's named after you, Luca, or you're going to Luca in the Tuscan Hills, or you're going to Siena, the range of flavors is wide because these districts are large. There's lots of bridges and lots of tunnels to show how uneven the topography is, and these little towns develop their own recipes, and this is what the secret to good Italian cooking is all about.
It was like a series of islands historically.
You
each
bet.
Town, they
yes,
didn't mingle with each other. Yeah.
We'd love to try the soups in all the different types. They all had the same name, but they were always different.
And also a wonderful thing about Italian cooking is the use of seafood. And then you're in Bodega Bay, and you have the opportunity to have such great seafood there as well. It must be so fun.
Look at this next dish. The
yes,
next dish
is
that.
We have access to the fresh fish we do on a fish plant. So.
Mm.
For me, it's a lot of fun.
That's great.
So, Marco, you want to describe the next dish?
Marco can describe this.
The next dish is a lemon risotto with fresh peas and pea shoots, a little pureed pea on the plate, and then a prawn that we finished in butter and Brendalee Chardonnay.
That's the secret ingredient.
And the perfect wine to go with
the secret.
And the fire alarm.
And the fire alarm, that's right. We almost got thrown out. Anyway, so we're pairing this with the Simino Vineyards Brendalee Chardonnay 2013, which was our 25th harvest at Simino Vineyards, and it's named after my beautiful Brendalee. And it's a Chardonnay that comes from our 5-acre block, 9 different clones down there. The oldest vines down there are from 1972. a major planting in 1992, and then again in 2000. So the vineyard has got all kinds of complexity there, and we age it in French oak barrels, only 30% malolactic, because we're a warm region, and we don't feel we need to have, you know, any more extra round or richness, because it comes naturally. And when you give it a sniff, we use two different French barrels, Sarrugue and Dami, and that Sarrugue barrel gives you this wonderful aromatic.
Mm-hmm. What I like about the wine is that the entry shows the acidity, and the aftertaste is rich enough to go with the richness of the risotto. But what's really wonderful about this risotto is that it was prepared in such a way so to accentuate the al dente character of the rice. So the rice is really, it's got a crunch to it. It's fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And that was something that, Chef Luca, you were saying, this particular kind of rice has that quality and ability to stay al dente.
Yes, I use a particular rice which is called Acquarello and come from the northern part of Italy, where most of the rice come from. But it's a rice that they grow in a particular way, so it keeps this quality of stay al dente for a very long time. It's, you know, it's a very good quality of rice, and it does have a very good texture, so we use this for this nice wine dinner that we're going to do on next Friday.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that, does that work or what?
That's fabulous. The combination of flavors between the Chardonnay, and I wouldn't have guessed that. Somebody said to me, okay, Glen and risotto, it's not going to, I was thinking Sauvignon Blanc, but right. No, the Chardonnay works beautifully with it.
Yeah, I'll tell you that, 30% ml. Mm-hmm. When we decided to make the Brenda Lee Chardonnay, our first vintage was 2008, because we're a warm region, and Brenda's the Chardonnay girl, we went around and purchased as many warm region Chardonnays as we could and tasted them blind, and every one that Brenda liked was either no or low malolactic. Mm-hmm. So we decided, okay, and if you're going to put your wife's name on a bottle, she better like the
she
one
better
you
like
make.
It, right?
Yeah, but it's beautiful. This
oh,
one.
Yeah. It just worked
Yeah, you'd
out.
Have to spell her name backwards if she didn't like it.
Yeah.
What would that be, Brenda?
She'd have thrown me out of bed. That'd have been the end of that.
But this is wonderful. It really does balance with the lemon flavor. It's fantastic, and the creaminess plus the acidity of the wine both coming together really nicely. And this would be just the second course that you would enjoy in the four-course dinner with Simoneau Vineyards on Friday, October 14th. They are taking reservations at the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides, and you can do that by sending an email to reservations@innatthetides.com. Now, this is something, I know that you guys do these winemaker dinners all the time. What is the draw for, I mean, you're in a gorgeous location, so, I mean, I'm sure it's wonderful for tourists to be able to do this, but locals love to come and do winemaker dinners,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we've done the dinners going back into the 80s, and my father started the process the way that we do them now in 1990. And we've become very well known over time. They do every single month. Sometimes we do two in a month. And you know, we have a lot of people. Probably every dinner, about 40% of the room is the same people that we saw last
yeah.
time. And then there's, of course, people that are fans of the particular winery that will come. And so right. we just meet new friends, and then we see them the next time.
I can see where you'd want to come back. Because the location is unbelievable,
yeah.
And everywhere there's great wine. But the food, Luca, I didn't realize just how special you are, my friend. I cannot wait to enjoy the evening, and then
I just
to have
like to interject this particular dish here is kind of a show off of the process that we use to put the dinners together. Between meeting, we decide first who do we want to invite. Because we have a lot of wineries asking to come to the dinners. We asked you to come back. We didn't wait for you to come and ask. We called you. And then once you brought the wines in, we tasted through. We liked the wines you had. Luca goes through and makes his menus. And for each wine, he comes up with two or three options. And then we sit together and put the menu together and try to figure out which one we all think is going to pair the best with the wine that we tasted.
Right.
As well as we don't want to have too many repetition between 1 month to the next.
Correct.
Then a week prior to the dinner, Luca makes all the food and we taste through it and decide what needs to be adjusted to match the wine better.
Oh.
And in what I spoke about with the last dish with that amalgamation of flavors, the risotto the other day when we tasted it, he made the lemon risotto, he added the peas, he added the prawn, and we tasted lemon, peas, prawns separate. And we discussed how do we need to change it a little bit to bring it back. And just in this one, when we made it tonight in the kitchen, You know, he added the peas in while he was finishing risotto, and then at the very end, the prawns first were seared and then poached with a little bit of the Brendalee Chardonnay, and we added that fumé into the risotto at the finish when he mounted with butter. And this creaminess and fullness is exactly what we all had hoped for originally that we didn't taste a week ago, but we're all having right now in studio.
Can you believe I did that in your little kitchen?
I know, man.
Well, there's also...
We should have filmed that.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. That's Iron Chef.
A lot of people, like, tried to figure it out.
One of the secrets to this dish, which you didn't mention, was the basil. The basil flavor is subtle, but it adds measurably to how the dish comes across on the tongue, because you have a little bit of that herbaceous, that green element that's gorgeous.
And that same element comes out in the finish of the wine. After
Absolutely.
You taste the risotto, it accentuates it. It's not there without the food.
Exactly. And it's a subtle addition, but it really makes the dish. It really adds beautifully to the dish.
Well, this is so fun and so exciting and amazing to hear that something wonderful came out of the kitchen at Chaos R.O. So maybe we'll invite you back, Chef Luca.
You get three stars for the kitchen
and
the studio.
And Chef Luca can come back and keep trying different things in our kitchen. That's totally fine with us here. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to California Wine Country on 1350 KSRO and FM 103.5.
Now, more of The Drive with Steve Jackson on Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
And welcome back. God. This is California Wine Country with Dan Berger, wine writer for the PD, Tom Simoneau of Simoneau Vineyards, and also Sonoma County's wine guy. I'm Michelle Marquis, filling in here on KSRO for Steve Jackson, who is recuperating from some sort of crazy stunts I'm sure that he's been doing. But lucky me, I get to be here and taste some amazing food from the Bayview Restaurant in the Inn at the Tides, who are welcoming Simoneau Vineyards on Friday, October 14th, that's next Friday, for a winemaker dinner. And they have brought three of the four courses that you can get for a wonderful value of $109 plus tax and gratuity. You can make reservations by sending an email or calling the Bayview Restaurant. You can send an email to reservations@inatthetides.com. And also, Marco, there is wonderful rates for people who want to spend the night then if they're going to the winemaker dinner.
Yeah, we have special rates for the guests of the winemaker dinner. The rates are about $100 off the price of a rack room. So if the regular room price is $269, you get that same room for $169. I don't know the exact number, but it's very close to $100 off the price.
Wow.
So that takes care of
the price. I
think
the most amazing thing about these dinners, besides the flavors, the tastes, and everything, that they've been put together so carefully to work with these wines. Tom, your 2009 Cabernet is perfectly aged. It has the right amount of time on it. It needs a few more years, but right now it's right in its peak of its moment.
There's nothing like time in the bottle.
No.
You know what I mean? And the wonderful thing about what we've got is we just happen to have this beautiful Cabernet vineyard, and we've been there for 25, 28, whatever it is, years now. And I've learned making wine from it since we T-butted from Chenin Blanc back in 1990. You know, how to play around with my favorite spots.
Do you have any more of this 2009 in your cellar?
This is we're still selling this.
They're still selling.
We're still selling the old.
What's your price on it?
$50.
It's ridiculous. Should raise the price. Fabulous wine.
So, yeah. So, TomSimoneau.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Dan Berger just said.
It's really a great wine, Tom.
Thank you. We won Best of Class last year at the Harvest Fair in the $50 and up. So then we've got a 91-point rating.
We don't care about points around
at the California State Fair. The great thing is that Brenda and I make our wine for us, right? And then, luckily, other people like our wines as well. And when we get a new customer, we usually have customers. They don't go away.
I mean, my newsletter starts up again this week, and we took a hiatus. We're back on next fabulous. It's a long story about how we got back on track. But the newsletter starts up again, and the first issue is all about Cabernet Sauvignon and why it ages so beautifully in your cellar. And it's really a fabulous wine. It's 09, just a vintage that was overlooked, and wonderful wine with time in the bottle. I mean, think about this: you didn't have to buy this in 2011, and then sit on it. You could buy it now for $50 a bottle. And all its aging has already been done for you.
Or yeah. come to dinner next week and enjoy
it. Or come to the dinner and enjoy this wine and then buy the wine.
Right.
You know what? And come and enjoy our company. All of our company. Luke is going to be there. Mark is going to be there. Carlo is going to be there. Brenda and I are going to be there. I mean, we're just going to have a... It's going to be a party Friday the 14th.
Yeah, and that's the fun thing, too, about winemaker dinners. I've gone to a couple of them. It's the fact that you do have the winemaker there, so you
yes.
can talk about, you know, the processes behind the wine, the struggles or triumphs that they've had in their vineyard, and it's so much fun.
Yes, and trust me, there won't be a geek alert with Tom around.
No.
we have more fun than too many geeks, although I can be a little geeky. And you're starting your new... Vintage experience coming right up?
Yeah, coming up next week or this week. I'm not sure when. Everything's written and edited and ready to go. It's just a matter of getting the website up and running. My son is working on that. VintageExperiences.com is the website, and we're taking subscriptions right now. And everything is going online. And it used to be, hey, listen, we started in 1996 as a fax-only publication.
We used to get your fax. I mean, I've been a fan forever. So trust me. So you've got me back on your list here?
You're on there.
All right, you'll be seeing it for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about this wonderful dish. Marco Galazzo is the restaurant manager. Marco, tell us about the dish that that chef has created to go with the Cabernet Sauvignon.
This is a coffee and cocoa spiced rubbed rack of lamb with mashed potatoes, haricot vert, and a Cabernet demi-glace. And this particular dish, in making food and wine pairings, you obviously can't change the wine, but you can always change the food.
Mm-hmm.
So not that everything can be matched to a wine, but you can change the food to match the wine. This particular dish, if you ate this by itself, it's a little heavy-handed. The flavors of the coffee and the flavors of the cocoa can be overwhelming. But when you pair with this wine... It all suddenly becomes amazing.
Right? All the pieces come together.
Yeah.
What's fascinating is that the coffee is no longer coffee. Then it becomes part of the dish, and then you see a series of flavors that you never anticipated from the meat alone.
Yeah, and the meat is so tender, too. Mm-hmm. What kind of lamb
wonderful,
is this?
Wonderful.
Whose lamb is that?
Colorado. We use in Colorado.
Colorado lamb. Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And then the green beans and the mashed potatoes. And my 09 cab. I love this.
He was very respectful, by the way. He's using potatoes and not polenta.
Yeah.
He says with a grimace.
What's the wrong with that? I happen to like polenta.
Polenta's good with this, too.
I love potatoes.
You should put a little bit more of the Cabernet glaze, but mashed potato works pretty well.
Listen, man, we've got a great... Brenda, I'm the grape grower, and Brenda is the gardener. Our potatoes this year are unbelievable, and she just harvested a bunch of these beautiful potatoes. We're going to have steak and potatoes tomorrow night. But anyway, back to the meal tonight.
Right.
So we're going to... Oh, do we have to go to another break?
Not quite yet, but I did, as you mentioned, harvest. Is your harvest done?
Yes. Here's the deal. If you're a grape grower this time of year, there is nothing prettier than a bare-ass vine.
Right.
Let me tell you.
That's absolutely true. And what's interesting is that at this time of year, normally, we're not even into the beginning of Cabernet harvest, and now we're done.
It depends. It depends.
Well,
we were screaming.
September 15th through September 30th is the peak period for most Cabernet, and this year, by October 6th or 7th, it's done.
Yes, but listen, if we hadn't had that August that was so cool, we'd have been screaming. What do they say, 45 days from full veraison?
Yes.
And you pick, right?
Right.
Well, that would have been Labor Day. And August hit, and everything slowed down, so the flavors were able to develop without the sugars smoking too high, so you could get the pH and the...
We've had some very good vintages the last several years, and it's really hard to imagine going all the way back to 06, which was a great vintage, and then, of course, 09, which was an underrated vintage, and then, of course, the great 2010, except for the heat waves, and then, of course, the 11 was my favorite vintages of all time because it was cold.
Oh, my God. Listen to Dan. 10
listen
and 11
me,
were some of the toughest
me.
Vintages as a grower.
Toughest vintages
cold,
as a grower.
Wet.
Yes.
But
go
you love those kinds
go
of
go into
wines.
The stores right now and find the 11s and go buy
trust
them.
Trust me, man.
Fabulous.
Every time you find a vintage that people pan, those are the ones that last forever.
That's right.
And you could say, man, I wish I had more 11s.
11. Yeah. Go buy 11s right now.
There you go. This is California Wine Country. I'm Michelle Marquis filling in for Steve Jackson. California Wine Country brought to you by Bottle Barn. Dan Berger, of course, is the wine writer for the PD and host of California Wine Country. Tom Simino is here with Simino Vineyards. And, of course, he's Sonoma County's wine guy. He's got a great website. You can check that out, too. It's very fun.
SiminoVineyards.com.
There you go. Mention it. Good job. All right. And we are thrilled to have with us the restaurant manager, Marco Galazzo, from the Bayview Restaurant, and Chef Luca Doria, who is here and has brought some wonderful food from the actual winemaker dinner, which is happening on Friday, October 14th. There are special room rates available as well if you want to really indulge and have a wonderful time. And it's a great place to stay. We have had company parties there with Sonoma Media Group, and boy, it's a great place to enjoy some wonderful dinner.
And, you know, have the wonderful meal, enjoy our company, enjoy the wine. Then you wake up in Bodega Bay.
Exactly. And you also get breakfast.
You get free breakfast. That's right.
So,
and
so
we're
much
discreet.
Fun.
We never talk about the parties that you've had.
Oh, good.
That's
thank
right.
you.
What happens to Bodega stays in Bodega.
That's right. Yeah. Cigars, whatever. Spirits.
Well, our last party, there was an epic karaoke contest, which we're not going to talk about.
There will be no karaoke at Simino Vineyards wine dinner.
Because nobody
guaranteed.
Remembers the words.
That's right. You know, I'll tell you, I was absolutely so excited about getting this dinner together, and as it was coming up, I'm going to be talking about the wines and walking around and meeting folks. But today, after having this wonderful food paired with the wine so close, and you guys are saying you've been tweaking the recipes, including tonight, even here in this little kitchen, I can't wait for next Friday.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun.
Oh, my God.
So the final wine that we're going to try, we don't have the wonderful dessert that's going to be paired with it, but I was trying with Brenda Lee to pronounce the name of this wine all fancy-like, but apparently it's just really straightforward. It's Fenceline.
Fenceline. Yes.
Like, the Fenceline.
Fenceline. Yeah. Exactly.
That's
what I was trying to do. Exactly.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal, right? It's Fenceline, but we make it one word with an uppercase L in line, Fenceline. And the reason it's, I don't know if you've ever, if you're trying to make a wine and call it something, you know, every name in the book is used.
Except negative names.
Yeah, well, true. And you know, it's like, you there's some weird names nobody can spell, nobody can pronounce, nobody remembers. It was a you know. So when the grapes are actually for this, my Bordeaux varieties. This is a Meritage blend. This 2012 is 65% Cabernet. So that's from the 5-acre Cabernet vineyard. And then on the fence lines, that's where I grow my Bordeaux varieties, Merlot, Malbec, Petit Verdot, and Cabernet Franc. And this is the 12. So it's 21% Merlot, 7% Cab Franc, 6% Petit Verdot, and 1% Malbec.
Now, I tasted this on August 17th, my first show in replacing Ben Pearson.
Right.
And you gave me a half a bottle to take home with me, and we tried it 2 days later, and it was better.
Yeah. Mm. It's young. It's 12. But 12 is a great vintage.
Great vintage.
I know you like 10 and 11.
10 and 11.
I know 10 and 11.
10 and 11.
That's okay, though.
And 12.
At
I like 12. 12
is fantastic. This wine will be better in a number of years. If you taste my 10 right now, 10 was the first fence line I made. 10 is just starting to develop, kind of like the 9 is developing.
Tom, you're not going to say this. I will say it. You're a great blender.
Oh,
and this is a
you.
Very fine wine, really fine wine.
We
what are you charging for this?
50.
It's not enough. But that's okay.
You need to write about this in your vintage experience coming up.
We'll do that. We'll do that.
Now, this has also got to be pretty exciting for you and Brenda Lee. This is your second winemaker dinner going back to the Bayview restaurant. But your first one, you didn't even have some of these wines that you're bringing along with you.
That's correct. We didn't have the rosé. We didn't.
Fence line.
We did have fence line.
We
had fence line. It was the first fence line we had. What we did, I think we did two cabs that time around. But tell us about the dessert we're going to pair this with.
Well, it's going to be a chocolate lava cake, but a spicy chocolate lava cake. And then with Amarena syrup, which is the Italian sour cherries, Amarena cherries. They kind of got famous. Everybody discovered they're really good in Manhattan. So... So Amarena cherries with the spicy chocolate lava cake, and that should go well. The thing with chocolate lava cake is there's a little trick to it. There's a disc of chocolate ganache in the middle. You heat it up in the oven, melt the ganache, and then when you cut into it, the ganache flows out like lava. for what we were doing tonight. We couldn't do that an hour ago and then try it right now.
That's true.
We cut into it and find hard ganache after it chilled.
This is true. Although Luca probably could have pulled it off, man. I'll tell you, I wish I filmed
with
it.
With a can of Sterno under every plate. Yeah, this would have been great.
This was Iron Chef in at KSRO.
It would be crazy.
It wouldn't work.
So, Steve, we set off the fire alarm, if you're listening. The boss came into the kitchen and very angrily asked, "Whose guest are you?" And I, without thinking, said, "Steve Jackson's." And he goes, "Steve Jackson, okay." And he left.
Under the bus.
Yeah.
I bought him with some food. I sent him some sample of all the dishes.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
So we bought him off with the winemaker dinner food. There it is.
Wow. Oh. So this is going to be a wonderful pairing to pair the Fence Line Meritage with the spicy chocolate cake and that cherry flavor as well, bringing together a lot of the notes that are in this blend.
When we do tastings at home with friends, Brenda makes this shortbread cookie that has cayenne in it and a little Malden salt on the top, and it explodes in your mouth. Chocolate, beautiful chocolate cookie. And I always tell people, okay, take a little sip of the Fence Line. Now put the cookie in your mouth, and it explodes, and it's dusty and rich. And then you put another sip of the Fence Line in, and I can't wait to try the
We use cayenne with 58% Belgium chocolate,
So it's going to be the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, we do want to remind our listeners that the Simoneaux Vineyards wonderful wine pairing dinner, and this is the second one that Simoneaux is doing, is coming up on Friday, October 14th at 6:30 p.m. There's a no-host reception. Oh, and your bartender's fantastic, too, which I know from our parties. So, and then at 7 o'clock is when dinner starts. Tom and Brenda Lee Simoneaux will be there and sharing everything about their wines, talking about their processes, and sharing their wonderful recipes and stories as well.
Absolutely. Come down.
We do those dinners once a month.
Okay.
But that restaurant serves dinner 5 nights a week, Wednesday through Sunday from 5 to 9. And that bartender can pour cocktails Wednesday through Sunday from 5 to 9. So please come in and check us out.
Did you hear that, Carlo? Is Carlo listening?
I hope so.
We actually just changed the menu for fall, so we have a brand new menu coming up.
Oh, exciting.
And you know, it's only half an hour from Santa Rosa. I mean, you think about Bodega Bay being way out there. It's not.
No.
That's got to be our new tagline. The Inn at the Tides, our slogan is stay a while. But I've said for years the slogan of the hotel needs to be, it's not that far.
It's not that far.
Yeah, it's not that far. It isn't. We always think we're in Healdsburg, right? We think it's like, oh, my God. And then we come back from Bodega Bay and boom.
It's a different state of mind.
It is a different state of mind.
Nice. Right. Well, make your reservations by either calling the restaurant or sending an email to reservations@inatthetides.com. And if you had been worried listening to California Wine Country and missing the Giants game, I don't think there's a score yet, right? So you didn't miss anything. There you go. Time well spent. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Michelle Marquis, filling in for Steve Jackson. It's California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn.